Very good. Good to be thankful. Good to come that for bring that to each other and towards God. It's a good thing to do. Hey, anyone here like the country? Like, you know, not Australia, but like the regional area, the farm, the... Yeah, good, good. I love the farm. And so you should like the farm too. Now, growing up, we used to go to a farm at least once a year. We'd be out to a farm. And one of the experiences I remember sticks vividly in my mind was we went, as we arrived there, somewhere in the first couple of days, the farmer would always get us to get in the back of the trailer with the car, and we'd go out to the paddock. And as we went out to the paddock, there was always mallee roots in the ground. Mallee roots kind of in the ground, but they half stick out. You can see them usually, but you've got to dig them out. And so for a day, half a day, we would spend a day with the farmer digging out mallee roots. And so we would stop the car, jump off the trailer, and dig our hands around and kind of wrestle it out. And it's quite hard. You got to. That didn't look really hard, did it? I went, ugh. But it was quite... You had to really pull. Sometimes Dad had to come off and help us pull it out. But sometimes those roots can be quite hard to get out. So it was quite hard work, but it was a lot of fun as well. And so we were enjoying working with the farmer, helping to get those roots out and helping to put them in the back of the trailer. And so it was hard, but it was fun. But I figured at that time that it was probably just us paying for the right to stay on his farm. It's his farm. I figured we were just paying a day's work would allow us to stay there and enjoy the benefits. And that's a sense that goes right through our lives. That's us as people who we understand the concept of work and reward. We understand that if we work a week's work, we get a week's wage. If we do something, we get a reward for it. That's a system that us, specifically in the Western culture, have grown up with, that is what we do. We work hard, we get a reward, we get given something. There's a wage for our work. And certainly sometimes that's an attitude that can actually infiltrate us as believers, that actually we work and therefore we get a reward. And certainly in the early church, in Romans, as we read, that was an attitude particularly of the Jewish Christians, that actually as we work, we receive reward. As we follow the rules, we get reward. If we do the right stuff, we get reward. And certainly the Jewish Christians, they saw it as, you know, we actually got the rules first. So we got a head start in this business of rules, following rules, work, and getting reward. And it became a system actually that, if I just show that I follow the rules, if I just show to people that I work, then I will be held in greater esteem because I will obviously get greater reward. And so there's this system happening where actually I believe in Jesus, but I'm still working to show everyone else and to show God how good I am. Therefore, I shall receive reward. Now, I know that would never happen in the Christian world in 2018 in Wangarra, would it? None of us would be caught up in doing stuff that God might be impressed with us, to earn something from him. That would never happen in Wangarra. Sometimes we get caught up working, doing good, following the rules in hope that we will be connected to God, in hope that he will see our good work and be well pleased with us. But Scripture shows something very, very different, and we're going to explore that today in a bit of Romans chapter 4. See, in what's happening for the Jewish people is the law became a millstone. What was supposed to be a system that was supposed to help them connect with God, what was supposed to be a system that was helped them to connect in his space, actually became a millstone as to something that they saw as they had to do to connect them with God, but also that they would see it as a pious thing, that they were better than others because they knew the rules. Better than others because they kept the rules. And as we've looked in other weeks, you had the Jewish Christians and you also had the Gentile Christians. And the Jewish Christians had a head start when it came to rules. They had centuries of understanding the rules, and therefore they had a piety about them that oversaw the Gentile Jews saying, hey, we're a little bit better than you because we actually do all the stuff that we're supposed to from centuries ago. But Jesus had come and changed something very, very different. I want to show a bit of a slideshow here. I've worked very hard on this slide. Zach, if you could put it up for me. This is God's design for us. God's design, if we go to Genesis, was that we walked in harmony, in community with God. That's God's design for us. We see in Genesis, don't click too far ahead. I know you're excited because it's a line. You think, what's going to happen next? Now you guys know why I never use slides, because they're just pretty average. But anyway, so God's design was that we walked in harmony with him. You see, in the Garden of Gethsemane, God walked with Adam and Eve, and he whispered with them, he laughed with them, and he joked with them. And so there was supposed to be harmony. Oh, someone got ahead. And but then, is that you telling me to hurry up? Get to it? Yep, okay. And then sin came into the world. Sin is going our own way. It's doing anything that's not of God. It's doing our own thing. It's not just actions, it's thoughts, it's mindsets, it's the way we respond. It's anything that is not going God's design. God's design is that he speaks to us and we follow. But anything that we do that is not of God, that goes against God, creates sin. And sin creates a disconnect between us and God. We've heard in the last three messages that the wages of sin is death. And so there is a cavity between us and God because of our sin. Because of the way that we look at other people and think that we're better. Because of the way that we act out towards someone because we think it's justified to be aggressive and angry towards them. Because of the way that I'm greedy and self-centered. And because of the way that I live my life, basically, I have cut myself off from God. It's called sin, and it's a chasm. And there's actually nothing we can do about it. It is something that I can't get back, because God requires perfection of me to be connected to him. But I actually can't give him perfection because I'm an imperfect person full of sin. That's my lot. And so I have this cavity between me and God. And so God decided to make a way for us to be able to be in connection with him, someone to bridge the gap for us, someone who was perfect, to take the price of sin, which is death. Romans has told us earlier, the wages of sin is death, to take the death, to shed the blood offering, so that we might have that connection with God. And so, yes, you can click that. He gave his one and only son, Jesus, to die on a cross for us, to take the price for sin. And he bridged the gap for us, that whoever believes in him, whoever accepts Jesus as Lord and Savior, can walk again in relationship, in connection, the way it was designed with us and God. That is the nutshell of the story. And so can you just go to the next one, Zach? Just hold on that one. And so we see that actually it's not our works that get us the reward. It's not our works that get us the connection with God, but actually it's our relationship with Jesus. We're justified by faith. The scriptures say the justification is that Jesus paid the price, and he didn't say dead, he rose again, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And that's the eternal message for you and for me and for anyone else who wants to believe, that Christ has paid the price. And so that's where we come to in Romans. I want to read you Romans chapter 4. If you've got a Bible, feel free to turn to with me. Romans, as we've been looking at, is in the New Testament. It's after the Gospels. And let me read Romans chapter 4 to you. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, discovered in this matter? If in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, wages are now credited as a gift, but as an obligation, sorry. However, to the one who does not work but trusts God, who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the one to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. And this is in the Psalms. He writes, "Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them." Blessed is that person. That's the person who receives Christ as their Lord and Savior, who accepts Jesus as the atoning sacrifice, the one and only atoning sacrifice. Is this blessedness only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? So is it for the Jewish only, or is it for those who aren't Jewish as well? We have been saying that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. Under what circumstance was it credited? Was it after he was circumcised or before? It was not after, but before. And he received circumcision as a sign, a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. So then, he is the father of all who believe but have not been circumcised, in order that righteousness might be credited to him. And he is then also the father of the circumcised, who not only are circumcised, but who also follow in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. Verse 13, it was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be the heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes from faith. For if those who depend on the law are heirs, faith means nothing, and their promise is worthless, because the law brings wrath, and where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. What the writer is saying to the people in Rome is that Abraham is the father of all nations. Now, Abraham was seen as the father of the Jews, but he was also the father of the Gentiles because he actually had faith before he was circumcised. Now, that's a word that got mentioned there a lot, and I'm afraid, sorry for those who are squeamish today, but what happens, that what they're referencing there is in Genesis in chapter 15, verse 6, and if you want to flick to Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, Genesis is the start of the Bible. In the beginning, I want to take you to Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, because that's what Paul in his letter to the Romans is referencing. And he's talking about the Lord's covenant with Abraham. It's a bit of chunky stuff here. Hang here, we'll get to the point of it. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I'm your shield, your very great reward. But Abraham said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. So he's saying, who's going to inherit? I've got no children. Who can inherit? And I'm getting old. I'm an old man. I haven't got time or the ability for kids. And Abraham said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited to him as righteousness. Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness, because he believed in the promises of God. He believed in what God had said to him. What the Jewish people were saying happens over in Galatians chapter 17. And it says this in verse 10. I'll read from verse 3. Oh no, I'll read from verse 1. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abraham fell face down and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abraham. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, when you are now residents, reside as a foreigner, I'll give an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I'll be their God. Then God said to Abram, as for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for your generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you. The covenant you are to keep, every male among you, must be circumcised. So the Jewish people here think that the promise is actually, hey, you need to get circumcised. But really what's happening is Abraham was actually credited with righteousness before this, and so the circumcision was just a sign of something that had already happened, a sign of a faith that he already had in God. The circumcision was not the thing that actually gave him the righteousness. It was his faith that gave him righteousness. And we flick back to Romans, and he's saying to the Romans, hey, it's not about being circumcised that gives you faith. It's actually about belief in Christ that gives you righteousness. That's why you're justified through Christ. Abraham is the father of all of us. Whether you're today a Jew or you're a Gentile church in Rome, it doesn't matter. Abraham is the father of all of you. And the promises given to Abraham come to you because, not because he got circumcised. He did get circumcised, but the circumcision was just a sign of something that he had already decided and that he'd been given righteousness for, that he'd already been credited for. It's not the action, it's the decision in the heart. And that decision has been given to all of us, the descendants of Abraham. The good news here today is that you are all descendants of Abraham in the faith. And it's not your works that make you right with God. It's not your outward appearance that makes you right with God. It's not the things that you tick off that make you right with God. It's your decision to have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior that makes you right with God. That's what's happening here in Romans 4. He's saying, hey, so let's not get pious about it, Jews and Gentiles. Let's not get all haughty-taughty about your high standing. We are all level. It's actually your faith in Jesus Christ that makes you righteous. And it's him who connects you back to the state that God designed you to be in the first place. Let me just put up an... this is going to need some coordination, Zach, between you and me, which we just have not practiced. Let me show you a graph. You've been around with us for 4 or 5 years. I've used this graph a few times. Once I did it on a whiteboard and I couldn't get a pen to work, you might remember. Let's hope this works better. So along our bottom axis is time, and on our left-hand axis is Christ-likeness or holiness. So our life's click. Can you give me a click? Our life starts to move along. That's our yellow line. We have ups and downs. We're moving through life, through the space of time. Can you give me the next click? God the Father in this graph sits at the top. God is Christ-like. He's perfect. He's up there. He's up in there on our graph. Can we have the next click? Yep, that just says that. Somewhere along our life, we come to meet Jesus. That's not the Red Cross. That's Jesus. And we meet Jesus on our life. And so at that time when we meet Jesus and we accept Jesus as our Lord and our Savior, can I have the next clip, Zach? And the next one. In a spiritual sense, we are in Christ and Christ is in us. And where is Christ? Christ is seated with the Father at the right-hand side of the Father. So in a spiritual sense, we are at that moment that you receive Christ into your life. In a spiritual sense, you are seated with Christ in the heavenlies at the right-hand side of the Father. You have been justified by his resurrection, by his death and his resurrection. You are justified in him. Deal done. In the spiritual sense, it is done. That's where we reside. That's where it's all done. But who knows that our life continues to keep going. Thanks, Zach. And it keeps going up and up. And sometimes we have ups and sometimes we're going great guns, but sometimes we're stuffing up and things aren't so great and I lose my cool and I treat someone like this and I get frustrated and I get I start to act out of my own sense of need and I start to do all things that aren't of God. And so I have some downs, but then I also have some great days where I do some awesome stuff and I'm following Jesus and I'm looking out for him. So we go up and down, up and down. That's a process in the Bible that you'll read called sanctification. It says work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It's not saying work out whether you're saved or not. It's saying, hey, live out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work it out. Sometimes we do good, sometimes we don't do good, but we're heading towards Jesus. It's called sanctification. So justification is what we're talking about in Romans 4. Done, dusted. When Jesus died on the cross and you received him as your Lord and Savior, done and dusted, you are justified with Christ. But we work on this process called sanctification. You know what? You're going to be working through the process of sanctification until the day you die. And can you show us that? Great. I think there's another click because I put RIP on it just so we know. At that moment when you die, the process of sanctification is finished. And we have a process called glorification where your body and your spirit matches up and we live with God in space forever. Not in space, not in space. Don't get that theology. We're with God forever. It's called glorification. So we have sanctification, justification, and glorification. They're the processes that are mentioned in Romans in a spiritual sense that we actually are going to read. You've read about and you think, maybe what's that about? That's what it's about. And let me tell you, glorification will happen either when Christ returns or you get hit by a bus. Glorification will happen if you receive Christ as your Lord and your Savior and you've been justified by him. And at the moment we're working through a process of sanctification. Romans 4 is about being justified by faith. It's not about how good you are, what you've done, your resume, how smart you are. It's about knowing Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, and that's what justifies us, whether you're Jew or non-Jew. That's good news because most of us aren't Jew. We are justified. So why are we bothering to do anything then? Honestly, why are we bothering to do anything? Because if we're justified by faith, why don't we just chill out? It's all done, man. We're blessed. Doesn't matter how I treat the planet. Doesn't matter how I treat the person next to me. Doesn't matter how I live as a dad or a mom or a child. Does it? It's all justified. We're done. We're dusted. Woohoo! Praise the Lord. What's the point? started with a story about a farmer. We used to go and we picked his mallee roots. Turns out that farmer wasn't just a farmer, he was my dad's best mate. And he would let me stay on that property whether I pulled a weed or not, whether I pulled a mallee root or not. I could have stayed on that property because my dad, best mates with him. So I can stay there whenever I want. The reason we pulled mallee roots is because I was understanding the heart of the farmer. See, the farmer didn't want mallee roots in his farm, and so I'm not doing it so I can stay there. I'm doing it there because I'm understanding the heart of the farmer, and that is to farm the paddock, and therefore I'm getting down, I'm learning something, I'm working with him, and I'm understanding what it is to have his heart. And that is why we do works, not to be justified. That's what Romans is saying. You don't work, you don't keep the rules to be justified. You keep the rules, you keep the work to learn the heart of the Father. The Father who has the interest of the whole world at heart. He wants you and me to toil with him to understand how he works. And sometimes it's hard, but it's a lot of fun because you're working with the Father. And so as I go through life, you know what? The things that I do, I'm learning the heart of the Father. I'm not justifying my residency with the Father. I'm learning the heart of the Father. So when I honor my spouse and I don't cheat on her, I'm expressing the heart of the Father. When I help the poor and the needy, I'm learning about and I'm expressing the heart of the Father. When I'm helping the orphans and the widows, I'm learning the heart of the Father. When I'm respectful to my mother and father as a young person, I'm learning the heart of the Father. When we show love to the unlovable, we're learning the heart of the Father. When we're generous with everything we have, when we stand up for justice, when we live out integrity, when we think of others before ourselves, we're living out the heart of the Father. That's why we have sanctification. That's what it's about. It's not about earning the right to be connected to God, but it's about learning the heart of the God who has already accepted you and me, accepted us through his Son, Jesus Christ. And so Romans 4 is all about justification. Romans is about connecting us back to God. So for some of us here today, we can be free, huh? Some of us live with a millstone. Like the Jewish Christians, some of us, we would never say it like this, but we think, gee, if I can just get my life right for 5 days, I might be used by God. Anyone said that to themselves? If I can just get over this issue and stop doing that, then I will be worthy enough for God to use me. Be free of that today. Because justification isn't about what your works. Justification is about what Christ has already done. Live free of that. Be free, you're justified by Christ. He has paid the price for your sin, and we're just called to come back and give it to him at his feet and say, sorry, God, but thank you that you justified me. I want to keep learning about the heart of the Father so that tomorrow I'm not making the same mistakes I made today. I'm learning more about you. I'm being more like Christ-like. You know, one of our things here is to partner each other and becoming more like Christ. Well, that's a sanctification statement. It's about, hey, working with each other, encouraging each other to do the things that Christ calls us to, but it's not about earning a badge. It's about living a lifestyle that understands the heart of the Father, that others might come to know the heart of the Father through your life. That's what it's about. And so Romans, well, some big words there, but we can break them right down. Hopefully that's been helpful for you. Hopefully that's been a key. Be free. You are released. If you're not free, then I want you to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If that's new for you today, go, wow, I didn't know that I needed Jesus in my life to be connected to God. Can I tell you today, you need Jesus in your life to be connected to God. And it's as simple as saying, Jesus, sorry that I've been doing my own way. Sorry I've been trying to do my own things. I've been working my own way. And I've been doing it outside of you. I am sorry for that. And I ask your forgiveness. I ask that you would forgive me. I thank you that your death and your resurrection paid the price for that sin that I might have connection with you and have you as my Lord and my Saviour from this day forward. It's a great thing to do if you've never done that. Receive his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness. Receive his justification that you might get on with living the heart of the Father, because that's a good journey. Sometimes hard, like pulling mallee roots, but she was a lot of fun those days. A lot of fun. That's the Christian faith. It can be hard, it can be fun, but you're hanging out with the farmer. No better place. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, we want to thank you that you are a great God. God, I want to thank you, Lord, that your word reminds us through Abraham, that it wasn't his works that made him righteous, but Lord, it was his faith that made him righteous. Lord, today I did sense as I was saying that, Lord, that there's some of us here today that know that in our head, but in our heart we live in a way and we act in a way and we respond in a way that believes that it's actually our works that make us righteous. Maybe that's you here today. Maybe you're in that space and you're saying, yeah, that resonates with me. I feel just to pray for that today. So if that's you, just in your own way, say, yeah, that's me. I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, I pray right now that you'd release the burden, the millstone that people have on them right now, those who in their hearts are saying, that's me. I pray by your Holy Spirit that you'd release it. Father, you have already released them by your death, paid the price. Father, I pray that that would go from a head knowledge to a heart knowledge. We know the heart drives man. And so I pray, Lord, that that would become a heart knowledge right now, that by your Spirit that would drop. Father, thank you that you've justified us. That's a massive pressure off us. And Lord, you did it because you want relationship with us. You love us so much that you wanted to be connected to us, even while we were doing our own thing. I thank you for that, God. Lord, for us as a congregation, would you help us to see what it is to live a life that learns and expresses the heart of the Father? In spaces, Lord, where you put us, would you help us to be people who express the heart of the Father and enjoy that journey with him? In your mighty and precious name we pray. Amen.